Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Bei Volvo haben sie jetzt die Qual der Wahl. SUV oder Kombi, Plug-in oder Mild-Hybrid, Black oder Business Edition. Keine leichte Entscheidung, denken Sie? Ganz egal, wie Sie sich entscheiden. Bei unseren Editionsmodellen profitieren Sie von einem Kundenvorteil von bis zu 7.300 Euro. Jetzt bei Ihrem Volvo-Händler.
Herzlich willkommen beim Steigeflüster, dem Hobbyhorsing-Podcast. Hallo ihr Lieben und willkommen bei meinem kleinen Podcast. Dieses Mal hatte ich die Rosie zu Gast aus Finnland und wir mussten uns auf Englisch unterhalten, da sie kein Deutsch spricht und ich wiederum kein Finnisch spreche. Deshalb gibt es den Podcast dieses Mal ungeschnitten in seiner englischen Version. Auf unserer Homepage www.hobbyhorsingaltrip.de findet ihr allerdings eine Übersetzung, die ihr euch downloaden könnt als PDF-Format. Ich bitte euch um etwas Nachsicht. Denkt dran, wir sind beides keine Englisch-Native-Speaker, also keine geborenen Amerikaner, Engländer oder sonst wie englischsprachigen Menschen. Wir haben unser Bestes gegeben und ich hoffe, ihr könnt uns folgen. Fragen sind natürlich auch immer wieder gerne willkommen an hobbyhorsing.altrip@gmail.com. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß beim Podcast. Bin gespannt, was ihr davon haltet. Ich hatte sehr viel Spaß mit der Rosie. Sie hat ganz viele, fand ich, ganz interessante Aspekte auch über unseren Sport mit mir geteilt. Wir haben viel gelacht, bleibt nie aus. Und vor allen Dingen, wie gesagt, es ist eine komplett ungekürzte Version. Deshalb ist sie auch diesmal sehr, sehr lang. Also haltet durch oder hört sie in Etappen. Bis dann. Tschüss.
Hey, my name is Rosie. I'm 17 years old. I'm a student and a hobby horser in Finland. I'm studying to be a doctor one day, a few years, then I'll be a medical professional. I've been doing hobby horses for 8 years and I am a dressage rider and I would like to say that I am a professional hobby horser. So
you certainly are. I've told you now so many times, but I have to tell each listener too, I am so excited to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to it for so long. I'm so nervous. So everybody listening to it, please bear that in mind. I have to apologize before. I'm just so nervous right now. I just hope I get everything right, ask every question the way I intended it to be asked. And let's see for this. I still can't believe you're only 17 years old.
Yeah, me neither. It's like...
You've already had such a long Instagram career. I mean, looking back, the first post was back in 2017, 2018, something like that.
Yeah, around 5 years. It's been 6-7 years since I started, 8 years till I found the hobby. And then I like immediately started the Instagram account. So it's been like, I don't actually know how long it's been, but I still can't figure out that I'm 17 either. I'm just now getting my license and everything. It's like, oh!
Rosie on the road. Oh my gosh.
Oh no, that's gonna be a big mistake. Yeah.
But it's so easy for you to get from one place to the other, and I think that's
I actually bought my own car, and I think like we get our licenses if we have a reason. We get them at the age of 17. Mm-hmm. But I actually think that it was a big mistake from Trafi, the government of Finland, for the vehicles to give me the permission, because I don't know what's gonna happen then.
It's basically a car full of hobby horses and Rosie.
Yeah, I had like 20 hobby horses going to the SM and then...
I knew you were going to say that. I once heard that basically in Finland, everything is around Helsinki. And apart from that, of course, there's cities and stuff. But all the big stuff, everything that's actually going to happen in Finland is happening in Helsinki. And apart from that, you have just a couple of communities, I suppose, and some cities.
Yeah, it's we have like a couple big cities like Seinäjoki and Turku and Oulu and Helsinki, of course. But it's like pretty much everything happens in the Helsinki area, which means like you have all the big like shops and grocery stores and malls and everything. So it's in other parts of Finland, it's not that like glorious as it is in Helsinki.
Okay. I'm picturing it. Okay, I can see that. thinking of Samu Haber, of course, I'm German, so that's the only Finnish person I know.
Yeah.
Samu Haber, and that's it, I suppose. Sorry for that. Is Helsinki far away from you?
It's actually like a 45-minute train ride, so not too far, and like 30 minutes with a car, so not that far.
Yeah, that's doable, I suppose. Yeah. Is that also where you train, or do you train where you live?
Yeah, actually both. Like, it depends.
I see you in that sports club. There are a couple of videos, I suppose, where you are in a sports club or something like that. There's this coach with you who's teaching you all stuff, and I can see you trotting and stuff like that, rehearsing your freestyle stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks like a big gymnasium or something like that. A sports club.
Oh, yeah. It's well, my friend Alisa, which has been my coach for like 3 to 4 years now, mm-hmm. and now that I'm actually developed so much that I am in the SM and international like medalist, I have bronze and silver and everything, so I'm actually at the higher level. I don't really need her help anymore. Mm-hmm. I haven't needed her help in like years. Actually, but she's like encouraging me, and I'm still attending her training sessions, even if I am not getting like technical things out of it. I'm just like, some days some people gotta achieve that, like encourage, if you know, of course,
they're very good if it's, yeah, for your training and yeah, stuff. Then. Yeah,
and we are athletes, so we gotta have some encourage in something that we're doing in real life. So it's the most valuable thing that I actually have right now. So I'm like, oh, please praise me, I am so good. And then it gives me the feeling that yes, actually I am in that level, that I can do this and this and this. It's like developing myself mentally as well.
Yeah, you have to grow, yeah. I suppose, yes. But yeah, you're also very strict on yourself. I know that. I can tell, yeah, from your videos. I mean, you are very strict with yourself.
Yeah, and I've actually been always that kind of person. It's just in my personality, and I have this like mentality: if your dreams are not scary to you, they're not big enough. And if you are not like strict on yourself, you will always be like greedy and spoiled and everything. So I want to make sure that I'm neither of those, and I just like improve myself day by day by setting boundaries and training the hardest I can, and being the person that I am right now, and like concentrating on being the best version of myself by being so critical towards myself. And yeah, that's kind of it. And also I struggle with a lot of self-esteem things, but they actually are also positive, which means that I am improving and getting better day by day, even though they are mental things. So yeah, that's,
I know you are, I know you are.
Yeah.
Still, I felt for you during, I think it was this winter when we talked about it, and you had a hard time. And I, yeah, wish myself that you wouldn't be as hard on yourself as you were. I know it keeps pushing you towards your goal and to grow further and stuff like that. But still, I just wished for, me personally wished for you to be a little bit more fine with the person you are currently and with the level you have currently.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard for everyone, and especially in sports. It's, you know, it's a big thing. But yeah, and just like it needs a lot of concentration and thinking. It's not so simple. And I took like your advice and took everyone's advice, but it's still like it's so grown up to my head. It's like so difficult to change.
Yeah, of course. And you are still 17 years old. I'm 45. Yeah. I still have a lot of growth to do. There's just so much I strive towards too, but it's hard to reach that goal.
Yeah,
I think it's a never-ending story.
Yeah, I actually think that's the beauty of the life. You're never like finished.
Yay. Great.
Yeah.
I would prefer to be a little bit more Buddha-esque, a little bit more Buddha than, I don't know,
yeah,
train myself. But yeah, okay. Well, let's see how that in the future. How did she start with hobby housing? Why did she start with hobby housing? Did you get hooked right away? How did you find out about it?
Actually, this is a funny story because, I don't know, it was back in 2014, I think, that I had a competition with real horses in the summer, June, I think. It was a like camp competition, and I needed to recognize and remember the school course, dressage. And I was like, hey, maybe I would build a sick horse and maybe then like recognize and remember, hold the course by myself with the horse. And then I took my old sock, which was white and still dirty, and filled it up with like, filled it up with like different things like newspaper and cotton and everything and other socks, and glued some eyes on it and took some yarn and made the mane. And there it was. It was my first hobby horse. And then I just rode it, and then I remembered the course, and then I started to make other horses, and I was like, hey, this is actually kind of fun. This is like an actual thing. Then I started making the horses more and practicing and running on my backyard. And it's just like, it was the summer that made me hook, and I was hooked the moment I saw the dirty sock horse. I was like, this is going to be my personality from now on. I'm still here.
A sock horse, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it had like this brown stain on the like muzzle, and I was like, yeah.
That kind of fits it perfectly. What was his name?
I actually don't remember. It was, I can look a picture, but it was so long time ago. I was like, whew, I can't even remember like anything I had down in the 2014. It was a crazy year. It was.
Apparently, I'm so young and dumb. Did you win the horse competition? Do you remember that?
We had no winners, but I did score quite well in the person. So, yeah, that one.
In the end.
Win-win for me, yeah.
And then you got stuck with it, but you also do horse riding. You still do horse riding, right?
Yeah, I've done horse riding for 11 years now. So they have still gotten with me, and they are. Some people tend to like, I don't know what's the word in English, but replace the real horses with hobby horses. But actually, a lot of people do the opposite, which is like they are both separate things.
Yeah.
And for me also, I was like, yeah, this is my hobby horse side and this is my horse side. They are not in touch with each other, and they are like two separate things. So yeah, two sports at once. And in both, I am competing and succeeding and improving, and I have different like friends and everything. So it's like some people think that it's like we replace the horses with the hobby horses, we are so poor, we have no choices of like getting a real horse or something. Yeah, for some people it can do, it can be that also, but for me it's like two separate things.
It's just, in Germany it's quite interesting because we had big discussions with the horse riding organizations and the hobby horsing organizations. It seemed like both of them were competing against the other. Well, I always thought that either you could do it the way you do it and do it both separately from each other, or you can use one thing to just train for the other thing. I always thought
that's also, as well.
But apparently, in Germany at least, it can be only one thing or the other. So we're still dealing with that.
Yeah, it's actually so crazy that adult human beings are like, eh, you're so poor that you're going to ride a real horse, you're going to do hobby horses or anything. That can... Why can't we live in like harmony? Why can't we like accept and like expand our view of life and see that we can actually be both, and we can do all kinds of separate things and not like judge people at what they're doing. So it's
people
crazy.
Know about that.
Yeah. They're just uneducated, yeah.
We're getting there.
Sucks to be ahead of them, yeah.
So let's go back to 2014. So you said you started back then with hobby horsing. And when did it start to be such a big part of your life? Was that right away, or just did you grow into it? Because I remember, I mean, at least from watching that Hobby Horse Revolution movie, hobby horsing became a big thing in Finland then anyway. Was that during the same time, or were you one of the first? And how did people react to your new hobby?
Actually, I've never watched the movie. So it's like,
come on.
I didn't watch that in any form. I've just heard of it, and I was like, I'm not that interested, because like it isn't the way that our community and hobby is now. It's like so outdated, and it's like it doesn't resemble the reality. But in back in 2014, I did get hooked to it like quite quickly, but I didn't show it to my friends or anything. I had these two girls that were in my best friends list, and I was just playing with them and riding with them, and giving each other lessons and everything, training each other. But I think back in 2017, it became like a bigger part of my life. I was showing my hobby horses in public and competing. I started my first competition in 2017. And it was like a bigger part in 2017. It was like I kind of grew up. I realized that this isn't the face. This is a part of me now. This is a destination. Destiny. This is my like life now. So it was like 2017. I realized that, hey, this is a hobby. I can do that in my free time. I became proud of it and became like showing my horses everywhere. And it was like, it was an interesting time. I didn't remember any of that, but like now that I have to think, I was like, yeah, actually it was so confusing because it just like happened. There wasn't no like trying to get to it to myself or trying to get rid of it. It was just like moved on with me. And now here we are.
Yeah. A couple of years later, did you always see it as a sport or was there a time when you saw it as a sort of thing you can do in your spare time, but that's it?
Actually, yeah, it was 2014. I thought of it as a hobby more, not like a sport, which it is already now. It's a hobby and a sport and an art form and everything. But I first I did was play. I played with the horses. And then in 2017, when I started doing like rubber lessons and trainings, I was like, hey, yeah, my fitness is getting better. My muscle mm-hmm. strength is getting better. There are actual competitions to this. And then it became a sport. And with all the like trainings between running and gym and muscle strength. And that time I also did basketball. So mm-hmm. it was like, so benefically like interesting that I could jump higher in the basketball thing.
I bet.
I could run so much faster. Yeah. And in 2017, it just like came a sport to me. So mm-hmm. it's, this is so difficult to explain because so many sides. Yeah.
Yeah. I can totally relate to it. Yeah. Because I mean, there is a difference between doing it as a hobby and doing it as a sport.
Yeah.
And you do see differences in how your body reacts to it.
Yeah.
Once you start realizing it's actually a sport and you have to train for it, and you do have to, yeah, probably have some exercises you have to do, you know, to gain more strength or be able to do a lot of things better than you used to do.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. Yeah. You actually just mentioned something that I thought was very interesting because it's an aspect we in Germany never talked about. You actually said it's some sort of art form.
Yeah.
To express oneself and to certainly express as a group of either teenagers or people.
Yeah, and of course it's, there's two things that actually make it, especially in dressage, there is the freestyle cure program.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear whatever you want, choose whatever music you want. You're quite actually dancing with the horse. You have like a storyline and everything. And also it is, when it comes to making hobby horses, you can do whatever you want. You can do however you want, whatever kind of horse you want. It's just, I sell horses for like $300 each and euros each. It's like, I don't think that's a toy. It's a hard worked, like a handmade art project. It's like I'm making the SM horses now. And it's like, yeah, this is an art project that I do. Yeah, it's difficult to explain again, but yeah.
And as you just said, of course, in dressage, there is this freestyle stuff. So that's a sort of expressing oneself. But as you just mentioned as well, there's the sewing and all the crafting stuff that goes into it as well. So I've never seen a more versatile hobby than hobby horsing. If you see it as a hobby, not just to downplay it, but yeah, in Germany, it's mostly still a hobby. And I guess where you've been in 2014, that's where we're currently stuck at.
But you've had a lot like less time to develop your things, and I think it's actually okay the in your point you are right now, because you just need more time and people to do it. Of course,
it's just that all the horseback riders are not very patient with us, so either they're laughing at you or they're asking you for more specific regulations, and that's what we're currently working on, taking your Finnish regulations and trying to translate them to German and see if this works for us as well the way you do it, or if we have to change something specifically for our country.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's currently waiting for. But it's a hard topic because there's so many people who have different mindsets, and you just have to try to fulfill everybody's wishes. And that's, it's a lot of work to do, actually. And it's getting tiresome as well. So that's why I said I'd rather start a hobby horsing podcast and do the regulation stuff, because that's just not
fun. Yeah, but that's actually fine.
So you just mentioned that you, while you were playing basketball, you started to notice that you were jumping higher and stuff. I actually noticed going through your pictures for this podcast that you did more jumping in the past. Do you still do jumping sessions?
I actually do, but dressage is quite more beneficial for my body and my mind because I enjoy it much more. And there's in dressage, it's way more like difficult and different than jumping. But of course, in a sport that's not beneficial or like you cannot do a one thing because it becomes boring, yeah. And then I jump sometimes, but my body has some issues. I have a, I don't know how to say it in English, but my hip in the left side, I got run by a car, which is now like a bit of injured. It's been 5 years, but it's still a bit injured. So I'll have to look forward of what it makes me, and jumping is irritating to the hip. So luckily I enjoy dressage way more than jumping, because I would be a retired show jumper from now. And so it's just like still jumping for the technique and for the fun, but not in a like blood in the mouth feelings, like nothing serious. Dressage is the way we are going serious, but jumping,
That's just like it's fine for me, because I remember asking you a lot of questions about dressage and how does this work and what does it look like and stuff like that, trying to find myself in there and trying to find out how to teach it to someone else.
Yeah,
when that person doesn't have a riding background, horse riding background, to understand what it's really about, it's very technical, and to find out how it's supposed to look. It's a very complicated thing, actually.
To explain to someone who's never like actually seen horse riding or been a horse rider, it is difficult, because there are same gates and everything is the same as with the real horses, but except it's not the same in the real horses. It's completely different. And try to explain that to person who has never been in the back of a horse.
Feel it and see it.
But I get
That's it. How much do you actually train per week? Because I see you training basically almost every day.
It's, as I am a professional athlete in two different sports, I train with hobby horses like 6 to 12 hours a week, and then I go to the gym and run every day and do muscle strength like every other day, and then I have a like rest day in the Sundays and some days Fridays. But actually I train every day for like 2 hours or less, little less maybe. Now that I'm a bit sick, I cannot train at all because of myocarditis. If it comes, I'm in the hospital. But now I'm just resting and riding horses, and also I ride real horses like 3 times a week. So usually I train like 3 times a day. Or
how many hours does your day have? Apparently more than
I think it has more than 24. I need 24 hours more in my day, because I'm at school, I have work, I need to rest, and then I have my training. So
it's incredible.
I am truly fascinated by myself, because I'm like, how do I do this? How is this possible? But with enough determination, it's possible.
Apparently it is, yes. I have to tell.
I still sleep 9 hours at night, so it's...
Don't be such a whiner. That's what I'm going to tell my kids.
Yeah.
Think about Rosie.
But enough, if you love something enough, then you are like willing to do enough for it. And of course I love moving, I love sports, I love my disciplines and I love my things. So of course I'm making room for them. And if it means not reading to that exam, or if it means I'm skipping like school's work, like whatever, I can do school later. I'm studying to become a doctor. I think the next 6 years are going to be full of reading and calculating and everything.
Yes, so a lot of chemistry, biology, all the good stuff. Yes.
All the best. Yeah, especially physics and biology. Yes. I think I can get enough of them in the future. Yeah.
I can already see it.
You actually mentioned something that's quite interesting to me, because I keep arguing with my kids that who don't want to do it. That's actually exercising for being a hobby horser. That's something they don't do. I mean, they do the usual hobby horse training stuff. That's what everybody likes doing. Either it's training for many of my kids is simply jumping. But there are a couple of them who are very good in dressage, and I try to keep coaching them until they get better as a group as well. And just do some stuff together. And they're willing to do that. The only thing they don't want to do is exercise for it. Like doing stretching stuff or build up muscle tissue, something like that. They just don't want to do it. But you said it's important to you as well.
Yeah, it's even if you are not willing to exercise like muscle strength or training, cardio or anything, you must stretch at least. Because we need like movements which are not capable of human bodies. We cannot physically reach them. So stretching is quite the most important part of like the included trainings. If you do all the hobby horse part, you'll become a decent rider. But if you stretch and take some time in thinking the whole thing, you'll become a good rider. And then when you train outside your comfort zone more and for many, many years, you will become an excellent rider. So it's just like dedication. I think everyone should at least stretch like 3 to 4 times a week. I do it every day, but some days, even if it's a 1 day a week, it's still progress. It's still better than what you're doing now. So it's just like competing against yourself.
I'm just going to take that clip and just play it every time we have a training session. I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. But there's actually some people tend to train too hard or train too much because they take like they idolize me and think they're capable of doing like things that I do and trainings that I do. But keep in mind that I've been doing this for almost 10 years. So not everybody can do that. And it's important to start small and improve over years and over time. And teach your kids that. It's like, no, not everyone can be a magician overnight. It's just like if you stretch 1 day a week, it's still making you better than you were yesterday.
Ah, I love you for that.
Thank you.
No, but it is. That's my experience as well. It's just so hard teaching your teenage kids actually the truth. Because, as we all know, it takes some patience and time. Yeah. And that's obviously something that the young mind never has.
Yeah, and that's why they end hobby horsing. They are like I'm not good at this. I'm gonna end this up, and I'm like, think again. Yeah,
that's actually a sickness of our young generation. I'm afraid of. I mean, talking to other coaches, either it's hobby horsing or learning how to play the piano or anything else. Everybody has such a short mindset to it. If it doesn't work out in the next 2 weeks, then I'm just gonna stop it.
It's not good.
And having some patience at least, or just sticking with it for a couple of months at least and trying to find out whether it really suits you or not. I mean, maybe you come out of it and say after 6 months, oh, it's really not my thing. I don't enjoy it. I'm not good at it. Maybe there's a certain type of motion you have to perform and just can't perform it because your body's limited. Okay, well, then that's it. But you at least tried it. But after 2 weeks, I mean, it's very hard to decide what you're capable of.
And you cannot have like progress in 2 weeks if you are doing sports. Muscle grows over months. I've been doing hobby horsing for competition purpose for like 5 to 6 years, And if you look at my pictures from 2017, I had no muscle at all. But now that I'm eating and I'm training like a bit outside my comfort zones, I'm gaining muscle, I'm gaining strength. It took me like only 6 years to get to this state. And but I think it's also important that you keep the training and the moving fun, because you cannot learn something if it isn't fun, especially for the younger kids. It's through playing, through experimenting, through asking questions. And it's so important because a lot of people tend to forget that. It's like you cannot teach a toddler to walk if it doesn't want to walk. Mm. And you cannot teach a girl something it doesn't want to learn. You cannot teach me matricular questions if I don't want to learn. If I didn't want to be a doctor, you couldn't teach me anything. It's...
If I'd only known sooner, I would have told my math teacher. he gave up on me at some point.
Oh, no.
A very long time, much earlier than he gave up on me. But, yeah.
Oh, no.
You said you also changed your diet. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I when I was younger, I used to eat a lot of sweets and not like protein-rich foods. And now I'm eating 5 meals a day, even though I have disordered eating, which is like restricting my eating and making my mind like different. But I'm still pushing through it and eating as pure food as I can, as much as I can. And in the like limits, and now I've like gained 10 kilograms of muscle a year.
Wow.
It's like all my pants won't fit, and I'm like, yeah, crazy, I have thunder thighs and strong calves, this is amazing. Yeah
you can actually see that when you do the I don't know what's it in English, the middle trot, it is in German, but I don't know what's in English.
Trot, I understand what you're saying, yeah.
And that's where you just see how your legs are bending and the way you're holding them and stuff like that. There's so much strength in it. And I'm so proud of you every time I see it.
Thank you so much. It's been so many years, and it's been so many, like, the whole my career, I've been struggling with the collected trot. Now it's finally becoming easier and finally automatic. It's so,
yeah,
progress.
You can be so proud of yourself because it just, it looks tremendously great.
Thank you so much, Rosie.
I mean, like you said, there is a transition you can see from the when you started back when you at least you posted the first videos. I don't know if it was when you started, but the first videos to now, you can see your personal growth in it. You as a person growing and how you feel about it and how you come about it and stuff like that. But you can also see your technique being.
Yeah. It's crazy because when we are younger, we are idolizing like high steps. And like going higher and higher, and it's breaking our bodies. It's not worth it. And if you are not born with the physique of getting higher, and I have the hip thing, and I have strong thigh muscles and core and everything, and it allows me to go higher, which if I don't go high, my hip gets infected. And it's just like, a personal thing. Everyone's physique is different.
Of course.
So kids, if you are learning something from this, don't push yourself to go higher. It's go lower, find the tempo and find the technique. Don't jump like high. Just think about the steps. No higher, just forward. And just relax. It's just like, even though I am going higher, I can still relax. I can breathe. Wow, I learned to breathe like a month back. I was like, hey, this is actually working. I'm getting oxygen in my body.
But it is. And it makes so much difference whether you're capable of actually breathing and having sufficient oxygen in your body to actually perform. Yeah. Or if you're always on the line and almost on the word to going down, it makes a huge difference, of course.
And that's why we're not going high. That's why everyone shouldn't force themselves to go higher, because it breaks your hips, it breaks your knees, it breaks your ankles. I have a friend who is 12 years old and has a arthritis in her ankle because she forced herself to go higher. And I was like, I was telling her a few months back that you should really go lower, you should really stop. She was like, no, I'm becoming the best hobby horse in the world. And she was like, yeah, this is it. And when she first told me she had arthritis, I was like, yeah, what did I tell you? And she was like, yeah. But that's the truth. That's yeah. the truth. You just cannot force yourself to do anything. It's just like, in a friendly and healthy way, you can force yourself to get out of bed, go to school, do that workout. But in the long run, it's so much more like harmful. And if you are 12 and have a arthritis in your ankle, it's just like, where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? That's yeah, true. You yeah. overwork yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a body that's growing as well. So yeah. it's not just that you have the arthritis, but it's also to a body that's growing. So you will keep adding to it.
Yep.
That really sucks.
Yeah. And it's like, it's becoming, I think it's restricting her from doing any sports in the future. So just yeah. like, you should not overwork yourself in any way, no, anyway. In work life or movement, nah.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. But that's actually a point I've been thinking about, because I remember you being very hard on yourself before a competition in a mental yeah. state as well. So it's not you and your body, but it's also you working up yourself because you're afraid. No, afraid is not the right term. It's not that you're afraid of the competition, but you're worried whether you're going to perform correctly at the competition. If everything you've been training for will be there on the day of the competition. That was yeah. my feeling, at least. I don't know if I'm correct.
Yeah, you are correct. But it's like our minds are such like complicated things. The brain is such a complex organ. It's like, how can one forget everything that he's or she's done in the past 10 years because of they're so stressed out? And I think I figured actually out the performance thing because I couldn't breathe. I was just like so in like panic,
yeah,
and like I was afraid that I'm not going to remember the course or something, that I was breathing through my mouth and very quickly, and it's just not like through the nose and out of the mouth. It's like producing more oxygen and letting more oxygen come into your body and muscles. And then this one competition, I was somehow so relaxed. I was like, whoa, I've just driven 3 hours from here. What am I doing here? If I mess this up, then all right. And then I just went and enjoyed the course and breathed correctly and then won the course. There hasn't been any dressage thing, dressage course or competition I wouldn't have won if, like, won in the past 5 years, like one or two, and like it's all because of the breathing. It's just
I understand, don't worry about it. Yeah, but are you still yeah. that hard on yourself, or is that something you've overcome as well?
Yeah, I'm still hard on myself, yeah, because after the Slovakia thing I forgot the course, and yeah. I was crying for like 5 hours straight because I was so disappointed in myself. But actually the judging was quite unfair there as well. We didn't get any papers or any proof of our courses, so I was getting over it easier than the most things. But actually, yeah, if I disappoint myself, which is quite usual, it gives me more motivation and power to improve myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if I am mad at myself, then I can turn that madness and turn mm-hmm. that anger into something good in the future. So that's like, this happened because of this, and I have to do this in order to improve myself.
That's great. Yeah, so you come out of it with a lot of more strength and stuff, and mindset is growing as well. That's kind of cool. How many times do you compete a year officially? Do you know? Or is there a number to it? Do you do the competition once a month or twice a month or each?
Last year I competed 200 times or 115 times. It was, I have this wall of rosettes.
Oh my gosh.
There's not like half of it. There's so much more. And there I have all my cups.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I compete a lot, but now that I have my license, work, school, sophomore year, everything, I cannot compete that much. But already 5 times, and I usually compete in summer, but because I'm whole summer working, I cannot. So hopefully in the autumn I can compete like 50 times or 20 times at least.
Rosie, you're crazy. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but it's part of the hobby. You have to be a little bit crazy to like get into the sport.
True. That's true. That's a good crossover to one of my questions I had in mind. I don't know if you read it, but I've sent you the questions in advance, and there's a question that says, do you perceive the sport as a sport for outsiders or nonconformists? Because I was wondering, the tail of that question is, in Germany, here at my local sports club and in the group I'm teaching, I have around about 25 kids that I teach every week. And from those 25, I'd say half of them is being mobbed at school has a hard time just dealing with themselves. I don't know, it has a hard time growing up probably too, just from a personal view. And then obviously now they're doing a sports that's not widely accepted. People still look at you in a funny way and they think of, what is it you're doing? You're too old to run around with a stick horse and stuff like that. So you have that personal boundary where you're being mobbed by yourself from others, and you have a hobby that's not very widely known and you're still doing it. So I have a theory in my mind that you're either a person that's sort of a masochist or that you're just non-conformist, which would be perfectly fine with me because I'm born Aquarius. I've never been a conformist with anything in my life. I'm very typical Aquarius, always having a different opinion, voicing my opinion, stuff like that. If it's something that nobody else does, I have to try it because nobody else is trying it.
Yeah? Of course. Naturally, yeah.
Yeah, so that's absolutely fine with me. I'm just wondering whether it's the same in Finland or if it's just Germany here and just the German kids right now. Or maybe it's a generation thing as well. Might be.
Yeah, actually there's a lot of bullying and lots of different kinds of abuse in Finland when it comes to hobby horses. I was on vacation back in 2019. Mm-hmm. I was riding my hobby horse in Thailand, which I've been in 11 times, 12 times already. And I was thrown with a full water bottle that was aimed for my head and rocks and everything. So I think it's a generation, because in Finland there are adults teasing everything and everyone, kids teasing everything and everyone, teenagers criticizing and bullying everything and everyone. And it's just like, there's bullying whatever and whatever you do. Whenever you do it, however you do it, it's just every single place has some bullies and some like mean people in them. And that's why I'm kind of an activist. It's just like I bring my hobby horse to my upper secondary school, which is like, so much people are like, are you crazy? You're going to be beat up. You're going to get bullied. Everyone's going to tear up your horse. I'm saying, no, I don't care. What's the point? And we use Yodel, which is anonymous like chat place where you can chat from other people to like others' topics. Mm-hmm. And they were like, there's this crazy woman with a stick horse, like, bring her out of here. She's crazy. What's she doing? That's so dumb. That's so childish. And I just answered to them that, yeah, it looks like your parents or you couldn't embrace and imagine yourself doing something. And you didn't have the permission to make yourself the person you are today. And Luxia, you're just closed-minded. And well, I still bring my horse to school, but there are also a lot of positive things. A lot of people from my school follow me and they are like, you're so brave. I couldn't ever do that. I'm just like, it's just a regular thing. It's my hobby. It's my lifestyle. It's my work. It's my sport. Why wouldn't I bring it up? Why wouldn't I carry it with me? I have trainings mostly after school also. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I have my shoes and I have my horse. And I'm just like, yeah, this is the thing I do. If you don't like it, you don't have to be around me. And some of my friends have criticized it. They're like, that's so dumb. You are so childish. I have left them all. That it's like, you are not in my friend group anymore. And it's just like, I just come back at the conformists and like people who are bullying each other, and I tend to be loud, which is like also a positive and a negative thing.
Yeah.
And I shout really loud, and I am also loud in social media. I am showing up. I am making a difference. I am speaking in the behalf of others who cannot express themselves. And it's just like I am making my best at putting out the critic, putting out the bullying and everything. And not a lot of people actually recognize it as a sport. And I'm just like, yeah, you should try it. And I'm open at that Tuesday evening. Would you like to meet up? I can host you a coach session if you'd like. And I've actually done that once, and they were like, yeah, okay, I was wrong. So it's just like educating people and making them like aware of the situation that it's actually a sport. It's actually a thing. Yeah, and I also think that people in this earth are so negative, like towards especially furries and hobby horses. And well, if someone is a furry, because they are also widely bullied, why? Because it's just like if they are happy with the thing they're performing and doing, why would you like ruin someone's fun for like your own satisfaction? Because like, I don't get people. It's just like, why would you do something that'll make others' joy like that? It's
just diminish that. Yeah,
whatever you do, yeah.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. It's something I never related to myself. I was always an advocate for African American people, never understanding why somebody gets judged by their skin color.
Yeah, no, that's so dumb. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
racism so overall.
Yeah, it always made me angry. So I absolutely understand it, and I always played against that myself. It's just it's just something I was wondering about, especially in that sports area we're currently talking about, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are like commenting on some TikToks or videos or photos that's so dumb. Why are you doing it? It's not a sport. You shouldn't do that. Go to work. You're a grown-up woman. And at the time, I was like 15, and I was like, yeah, I'm not a grown-up. I can do this however I want. And there are a lot of people who are over the age of 30 doing this sport. And I was like, yeah, you should educate yourself. And why does it bring you so much satisfaction to put others down? You are just being ignorant. You're just being a bully. Like, the world is such a negative place. Why would you do it? And why would you make the world even more negative? We have so much going on, and people are like, you're riding on a stick that's so harmful. Why don't you go to work or do something important?
Especially with that face.
Bro, it's such a like tiny thing. Wouldn't you just go on with your own life?
Yeah, just care for that. But that said, probably they're frustrated with their own lives. They have to criticize others just to forget about what they have to be dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also, people are feeling bad, but it shouldn't like go to other people. You shouldn't project it to others. And like, this is a problem because people are not feeling good, but it's still not a reason. And I'm like, get yourself together. especially the grown-ups. I'm like, whoa, don't you have anything better to do? Especially the work you mentioned. I'm a student. I don't have to go to work. You have a job to do. Go do your job and not bully kids on the internet. God damn it.
Perfect reaction. Okay, I'm gonna do that as well and just play it on repeat. You just mentioned actually adult hobby horses. Do you have them in Finland?
Actually, I think half of the hobby horses in Finland are over the age of 20.
Really?
It's just like the oldest we have in Finland is like 50.
You guys all have to come to Germany. We can create a here.
We could like build a whole team and just enjoy the night and like sit around and.
Because it really apparently it stops here at 18. Just all of a sudden, everybody's gone.
In Germany, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
It's very strange. I was talking to this one girl, Nele. She's sort of our Rosie in Germany.
Okay.
She has huge followership on YouTube, and she's sort of the advocate for the sports itself. So she's doing a lot of press and stuff like that. And I've been talking to her, and she said, well, after I finish school and my studies and stuff and so on, I still would like to compete in championships. And then I told her, well, you're going to be 25 then. And she said, yeah, I wish for everybody to just stay on the sport, because if you do it as a sport, it's still recreational to you, and it's still it's an exercise for you. If you just do it for yourself and just keep on doing it. But apparently it stops, and that's what we're wondering about. Why does it stop?
That's actually quite strange, because in Finland, it's like when you go for specific friend groups or places, or you move schools, it becomes like more inactive. But not a lot of people like end their hobbies. And that's why I also like to bring football like into comprehension. Like, do professional footballers end when they are like 18? They are like, where would Messi and Ronaldo be? Like,
yeah,
if it's same in the hobby horses, you started when you're 8 and then you become good and end at 18. And if the footballers would do that, then it's just like, we wouldn't have any hobby horses at all. It's, yeah. It's just like, people should stick to what they're doing and enjoy what they're doing. Of course, if you are not enjoying the sport, it's a different thing.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Certainly.
Yeah, but if you are just like ashamed or feel like you're old enough to stop, or you're too old, it's just like, why does age matter in sports? It's just like, yeah, of course, when your legs are so fragile when you're like 100 years, then of course you could consider like toning it a bit down. But we are all young. We have still working legs. We have a working brain. Hobby horsing can be done in such different ways. You don't have to ride. You just make hobby horses and meet up with other hobbyists. And it's just like, why do people stop? It's,
Yeah, we'll see about it.
I don't understand.
Maybe it will change.
Yeah.
About that. I was going to ask you another question regarding your summer camps. You've mentioned earlier you're going to have 7 this year. I think that's...
That's a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about it. How does it come about? People register for it, and then you meet up, and then what is it they're going to do?
Yeah, that's actually quite the way it is. And I open a registration, or everyone is like, yeah, I'm interested. And all the places were out in like, were the 3 first camps in seconds. And then we just meet up and spend some time together and enjoy the Finnish summer and good food and our company and just build up friendships and enjoy everything dumb. And we had, on my first camp, we did this like Leirikaste, which is like, welcome into the camp.
Okay.
And it's like, you have to do something stupid or, I don't know, I'm going to explain it to you, but we woke up at the camp contestants at the middle of the night. We were singing this Puha Pete, Bob the Builder song, which basically says like Bob, not the builder, only the Bob, 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 Bob. It was such a good song. I loved it. And so we woke up them in the middle of the night, and then we tied everyone's eyes and made them go over and under like invisible obstacles. There wasn't any obstacles. They were just like, now you have to go under, you're going to hit your head, and now you have to go over, just a little over. And then I carried all of them to the basement. They had to fish out in a bucket of toilet paper and water. They had to fish out a sausage. And then I was like, what is this? And they didn't know. So I carried all them upstairs. And then we took out pudding, chocolate pudding, and took the sausage and dipped it in the pudding.
Oh my
and
God.
Then drove a, you know, the Lion King Simba thing. We did a Simba to everyone. And it was like 3 in the morning, and everyone had pudding on their faces. And
no wonder it was like, out of seconds. Yes. Yeah. I'd be joining you.
Yeah, it's just like, it's the memories and all kinds of stuff. Like, I don't know how many people like are awake at 3 at night and have like their eyes tied and chocolate pudding on the face after they've been named Simba. So it's something that people genuinely enjoy and they are willing to pay for it, which is, it's my job to make this Simbas for the girls. It's just like, okay, let's go for it then.
Yeah, I sign up.
Yeah, but it's a hard work. It's a hard work. After I host the first camp, I had to start the thinking of the next years. So I've been doing a year of work now and just making all these things myself, like allergies and transportation and scheduling the place and everything. It's a lot of work, but it's totally worth it when you see the happy faces and hear the like hear the feedback and everything. And it's something I genuinely enjoy.
I bet you do. Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can myself paying.
You should visit sometime next year. I'm gonna reserve you a place on the international camp. Yeah,
we're gonna do an exchange.
Yeah,
you're gonna come to me.
Oh, of course. And then like you come here. Ah, yeah, that's gonna work. Yeah, yeah, of course.
And we can enjoy both summers, Finnish and German.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that sounds so amazing.
Without the snow. Without the snow, I tell you that much.
Yeah, yeah, I hope, yeah.
But let's keep that in mind. Really keep that in mind and plan for it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Anytime. I'm always like, if someone like tells me something, I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Especially if it comes to traveling or other people, I'm like, yeah, I'm in, let's go.
You're such an easy person to talk to, and you're such an easy person
thank
to
you.
I can already
thank you that. You too, yeah.
No,
it's fun to like have different people like you, especially. I've never met you in person, but nope. There are some people who are like, we host this camp like calls, which is like all the girls are coming together and then we're talking and like hyping up the camp, and they were like, yeah, yeah, let's go, only like 4 months then till we see each other, and like 50% of the attendants are quiet with their cameras off and they do not speak a word, and they're like, why are you so boring, we're supposed to have fun in here. And I am so outgoing and I love other people. I love all kinds of different things, especially if they're dangerous or anything. It's just like, yeah, I mean, if they're crazy ideas, my friend's supposed
to. Yeah. You didn't hear a thing. She likes everything that's safe to be surrounded by, and she does only safe things. So you didn't hear that.
Oh, no.
She's a grown up person, but you actually are. You're an old soul in a young body.
Yeah, I think so, but I still tend to be quite childish. So yeah, I think all adults as well are just like grown-up kids, and they have just like if you show a like soap bubbles to some group of men, they are like, oh, what is this? They still like cars. They still like airplanes, trains.
Yeah,
we are still playing kitchen when we are making food for our families. I'm just like, yeah, it's just, we're all just kids.
Yeah, and that's how we're going to stay until the rest of our day.
Yeah, of course. That's the way to a good life, yeah.
It is. People actually complain about it because I keep collecting stuff and I'm still a nerd in hopefully the best of ways. But yeah, people are complaining. Yeah. About that. Why are you so tired? Calm down. Why are you always so loud and stuff? That's life. I don't know.
They're just boring.
Weird, but it's just not in me.
Yeah, and if they are complaining about you, they just cannot like enjoy themselves. They cannot enjoy what they're doing. They're probably going at a 9-to-5 work, and then for fun they're watching like Emmerdale or Friends or something, and then going to sleep at 7 p.m. and then waking up for work and doing nothing in between. It's just like, if you collect something, if you are interested in something, if you are loud, if you are outgoing, it's just like, ah! You are a great person. I love you. And it's just like, if you are quiet, I'm like, yeah, this is very nice. I'm going with my job. I have a car. I have a house. I have a dog. Where's the spice? Where's the flavor?
I'm actually a vampire. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like that. Yeah.
but actually going to bed at 7 in the evening sounds nice. That'd be nice for a change.
Yeah, it is. It is nice. I'm just a granny already. I have to get 11 hours of sleep a night, and then like, if I don't get like 10 plus, I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I have to wake up?
Yeah, I'm not a morning person, not at all.
Besides for partying all night long, if I don't have to wake up, it's easier. But if I do have to wake up at like with 6 hours of sleep, I'm going to be like a bear that has been shot in the butt. I'm like,
very grumpy.
Why did someone wake me up? Why do I have to wake up?
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
So before we're concluding our chat, what's in it? What's in the next 6 months for you? Obviously, there's summer camp. There's going to be some competitions. Anything interesting you've planned apart from that?
Yeah, well, actually, some competitions. The SM, a lot of work in making the hobby horses a good camp, and connecting with other camp like holders. They are hosting the camp otherwise, and they have hired me to host the camp.
Wow!
Keeping up with them, hosting my whole school's like summer party when people are graduating and stuff. And then just like training, getting my license in a few weeks. That's a scary thought. Yeah. And then, well, my favorite artists like gig and just some basic life, but a lot of working, a lot of work. I just cannot stress that enough. Yeah. I have 20 horses to be made, and I'm like, wow, oh.
That's a lot. What's it actually like going to the Finnish competitions, or at least ASM? What's it like? Do you meet a lot of fans? You say, oh, it's actually nice to see you, or are they just competitors and you're like, oh, well.
Well, actually coming to the ASM, it's a crazy mayhem down there. I was like, the first morning I was with my best friend. We were at the hotel. We were so stressed out both. You know the baby sensor videos? Yeah, the fruits and vegetables. We put one of those videos to the TV, and we were just staring at like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, we were so stressed out. But it's like when I got to SM, it's all about meeting the people. A lot of people want to take pictures or have autographs and everything. So it's just meeting the people and getting their wishes fulfilled and like socializing and meeting other people and supporting each other, and just like it's everyone should go to the SM sometime, because it's such a great like imagination of the community that we have here. Of course we have bad people, of course we have selfish people, we have liars, but in conclusion, the whole SM is such like it's amazing. You just cannot express it with words. It's crazy, it's stressing, it's a crazy mayhem. I'm always like, oh, having like a fire under my ass, and then just like, and I'm always like, just like, oh, this is crazy. I'm not going to survive this. I want pizza. I am hungry. I need to go pee. How's my sales going? I need to compete soon. And then it's just like so much people who are wanting to meet you and take a photo with you and having an autograph or video from you, and it's amazing, and it's so beautiful to have the whole community like in the same place. It's so amazing, but it's crazy exciting. Also
it sounds like hobby horsing heaven, especially viewing it from Germany. It's like it's actually a big thing, so that's something that's totally contrast to how it's here currently. So
yeah,
being regarded as a normal person when walking around with a hobby horse, that's actually something we can't imagine. Yeah.
So and, just imagine all the competitions. You get to see jumping, Western, dressage, and then you have 100 different people selling hobby horse equipment, horses, and coupons, and like all kinds of things. It's like when you first come here, it's just like heaven sports. Oh my gosh. Then you are just like, oh my god, and then you are stressing out, then you're competing, and then it just like goes, and it's being with your friends. I'm always there with my best friend. I'm going this year too, and it's the day before we're going to the SM, you can get the bracelets to get in, and it's like you get to meet your friends in peace, and old friends like Mike Gen and or the like organizer, which are your friends, and you're like, hey, this is so nice to meet you, because you're most likely not going to meet them in the SM day because everyone is so busy. But meeting your friends, meeting your fans, and selling stuff and buying stuff and competing, and it's so perfectly, like, if I could describe hobby horse sport for someone, I could and I would bring them to the SM. It's just
powerful.
Wordless. It's powerful, it's moving, and it's so, like, you are all friends with everyone, even though you didn't know their name, where they're from, what's their story. It's just like you are all such a big, like, family.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, I can already see ticket sales going up now.
Yeah.
From Germany applying for a train ticket. Hold on.
You would enjoy it here so much. You would love it here.
But that's natural. That's okay. I can do it.
Yeah, but...
So before we end the session, is there an advice you have for all the hobby horses listening to that?
Well, if you are listening to this and you want some advice, I would just say that continue doing what you love and continue doing it with your own pace. Don't stress. Don't force your steps up, even if you are wanting to go high. Don't force your steps. Don't force your mind. Just inspire and get inspiration. Think about your future and do not overwork yourself. Concentrate on being the best version of yourself today, not like thinking that everything comes right now, instantly. Be patient, love what you're doing, and like follow the crazy train that's like you are holding the train's steering wheel. Just go with the road, go with the flow. It's so easy. And if there's people who are bullying you, just remember you are stronger than them. You have a lot more like things you can do. You are more creative. You are more brave. Some people couldn't do what you're doing. So keep going and never lose trust in yourself. That's the only advice I could give. That was so many things, but I think they're most important things in hobby horsing.
And in life in general.
Yeah. If you are afraid of something, like if your dreams are not afraiding, and if they're if your dreams are not scary enough, you are not dreaming big enough. That's like dream big, and always if you have dream, if you have some sort of dream, there is always a solution. There is always a way in every single part of life. Yeah,
you're gonna become a personal guru, I guess.
I wish that was a job. Yeah, I could like Google it. No more doctors. Philosopher. Yeah.
Either that, or you can be a mental coach or something like that. Yeah, you would be a perfect mental coach, I suppose.
Thank you. That would be actually quite nice to try out sometime.
Maybe you could do it,
but maybe the doctor first.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see, but like opportunities, yeah.
Yeah, when they present themselves.
Yeah.
So, ihr Lieben, wenn ihr bis dahin durchgehalten habt, dann habt ihr echt einen langen Atem gehabt. Ich habe gemerkt, wir haben zum Schluss einfach nur noch gegackert und dann habe ich die Aufnahme beendet und habe ganz vergessen, mich offiziell zu verabschieden. Wir haben uns allerdings verabschiedet. Ich hoffe, ihr hattet ein bisschen Spaß bei der Episode. Wie gesagt, ich hatte wirklich viel, viel Spaß mit ihr. Jetzt kommt noch Nessies Hobbyhorsing Wissen to go. Bleibt also dran für die nächsten Turniertipps und wir hören uns in einem Monat wieder. Bis dann!
Herzlich willkommen zu Nessies Hobby Horse Wissen to Go.
Wenn man an einer Turnierprüfung teilnimmt, muss man sich vorher natürlich auch warm machen. Und das passiert meist auf einem Abreiteplatz. Und je nachdem, wie viele Starter es gibt, kann es dort auch mal etwas enger werden. Damit sich keiner in die Quere kommt, gibt es ein paar Bahnregeln. Zum Beispiel, die linke Hand hat Vorfahrt, die rechte Hand weicht aus. Die höhere Gangart, also Trab und Galopp, Vorschritt. Also Schritt zum Beispiel auf dem zweiten oder dritten Hufschlag und Galopp denn auf dem ersten. Abstand halten. Alle nehmen Rücksicht und achten aufeinander. Und ganze Bahn vor Wendungen bzw. den anderen Hufschlagfiguren.
Bei Volvo haben Sie jetzt die Qual der Wahl. SUV oder Kombi, Plug-in oder Mild-Hybrid, Black oder Business Edition. Keine leichte Entscheidung, denken Sie? Ganz egal, wie Sie sich entscheiden. Bei unseren Editionsmodellen profitieren Sie von einem Kundenvorteil von bis zu 7.300 Euro. Jetzt bei Ihrem Volvo-Händler.
Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Live von den Toyota-Gewerbewochen mit den neuen Nutzfahrzeugen, auch voll elektrisch. Mit geringem Verbrauch und hoher Nutzlast geht's direkt aufs Feld. Mit dabei und in der Leasing-Offensive der neue Pro A-City. Schon ab 156 Euro im Monat, zuzüglich Mehrwertsteuer. Kurzfristig verfügbar bei Ihrem Toyota-Partner.